Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 7. In verse 22, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. That's referring to the soul and the conscience. But I see another law in my members, having warred against the law of my mind, and taking me captive by the law of sin, being in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? This is the condition of a lot of sincere believers. They're not able to implement what they know. They're not able to live in faith. Now, they do love God, and they are sincere about it, and they are saved. But they're having a problem with a victorious life in Christ because they can't seem to get there. They hear about joy, they hear about love, they hear about peace, they hear about contentment, but they can't seem to find it. The fruit of the Holy Spirit seems almost unattainable to them. Now, this can, in many cases, damage their relationships or prevent them from having meaningful relationships. And the problem they have is they don't have within themselves what it takes. And they can't find it. There is, of course, a solution to this. And that solution is really something we need to live in. Because outside of that, we're going to have problems. Ephesians 2:15 says, having abolished in his flesh, this is referring to Christ, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. So there was an animosity, a hatred actually, going on between us and God. God loved us, we did not love him. And an integral part of that was the law. That wouldn't necessarily seem like that should be right, because the law was given by God for man. But Psalm 94:20 says that the throne of iniquity, which is Satan's throne, works mischief by the law. So within this law, this Mosaic law, that's where the separation took place. But it wasn't because of the law, it was because of the way the law was handled. Now, how does that pertain to me? If I am a believer, and I try my best to have a relationship with God, but that relationship does not lead to places like contentment, like joy, like peace. If that relationship does not bring me to the place of transformation to where I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit, then part of the problem is in some aspect I'm living in the law. As a believer, I'm trying to apply the law, and very frequently I use some form of law to define my Christianity, but I never define it correctly because the law doesn't define it. And so the enmity, the separation, the animosity comes through the law, the ordinances. Now, in John 13:34, love does not come by the law. Love comes because he loves us, in 1 John 3:19, and this is what we love as he loved us. And that includes ourselves, that includes other people. Love one another, yes, love one another, but also you're not going to love one another until you've received love for yourself. And in that love, you find your relationship, but also that law removes that love. That's why the animosity. Love does not come by the law. Hatred and hostility, that's what it's telling us. Those come by the law. It was interesting what Richard Wurmbrand wrote in his book, God's Underground. Great book, highly recommend it. When he was in the Romanian prison under communist days for 14 years, his first 8 years he was with common criminals, sometimes political criminals, but also with murderers and thieves. He said he had the most amazing ministry of his life. He was tortured. He was brutalized. It was extremely difficult. It was extremely painful. But from the standpoint of ministry, he said it was amazing. People responded. People got saved. He won so many souls in prison. But then the last 6 years of his imprisonment, they had rearranged the prison system so that all the clergy were in prison together, and he said it was hell. Why? Law. So often we bring in a law and establish it as a standard, and because in our thinking this is the law of God, it doesn't bring love, it brings animosity. Well, if your law and my law are two different interpretations of the law, then we're going to have animosity because we both think that our righteousness is established in this law, and we both have to uphold this law, and therein is the animosity, the hostility. No fellowship whatsoever. The throne of iniquity worked mischief by the law. Now, Christ functions differently. We function differently. In Hebrews 7:15, in the likeness of Melchizedek, there arises another priest. Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Salem became Jerusalem. He was a priest unto God and a king. And he was an early type of Christ, but he was also an early type of us. We are priests and kings, but he was a priest and a king apart from the law. He was a priest and a king purely by faith. And that is the priesthood of Christ. It's purely by faith, not by the law. The Levites, that was the order of the Mosaic law. Jesus was not a Levite. He did not come by Levi. He came by Judah. So he was not a Levite. He was a priest after the order of Melchizedek. We, being born of the spirits, we are priests and kings after the order of Melchizedek. In other words, in verse 16, who has come not according to the law of carnal commandments, but according to the power of an endless life. We do not live in a commandment that we apply in our flesh, in our natural ability, that we yield to out of will and simply obey without having a life of faith obedience. If I'm trying to obey, conform myself really, apart from faith which works by love, then I'm living in a law of carnal ordinance. But that's not the believer priesthood. That's not who God designed us to be, and that's not who Christ was. He was after the order of Melchizedek. We are after the order of Melchizedek because we are his brethren. And so, we don't live by a law. The fact that we don't live by that law, that carnal law, is why we can have joy and peace. I'm not talking about having lasciviousness. Lasciviousness, basically telling myself that I have the freedom to sin, Nobody has the freedom to do what God said not to do. Nobody has the freedom to step outside of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin in Romans 14:23. Nobody has that freedom. We have the ability, we don't have the freedom. I have the ability to go out and rob somebody. I don't have the freedom to do it. And if I do, the authority that is present will deal with me. Likewise with God, there's a lot of things I may have the ability, but I don't have the freedom. And if I enter into it just because I have the ability, God's authority will deal with me. And it's not dealing with me out of anger or even justice per se. It's dealing with me in that because when I do so, I step out of proper fellowship with Him, and His goal is to restore me to fellowship. The sin has been taken care of by the blood. The fellowship now is the issue. Living in a carnal law is sin because it's apart from faith. The law was given to clarify that sin is sin. It's the strength of sin. You see, when that happens, it can be very subtle. I turn to something other than pure grace. I live in something other than faith response through the Word of God in Romans 1:17. And I try to establish my relationship with Christ on a self-defined law. That's carnality. And that produces mischief. Mischief will not give me peace. Mischief will not give me love. Mischief will not give me fulfillment or contentment. Mischief will give me grief. In Galatians 6:2, the Word of God says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Now, this "bear another's burdens" is talking about a response, and it's talking about a decision. It's a volitional act. But then he says, so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ is not found in the Ten Commandments. The law of Christ is found in John 13:34. That's the only law Christ gave. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So God is saying, if I want to fulfill the law of Christ, I have to receive His love in 1 John 3:19, and then I express the love that I have received. In that, He is not talking about emotion. He is talking about 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8, love. However, it is a law. Jesus is saying, this is my requirement. Now, He being God, King of Kings, had absolutely the authority to establish any requirement He wanted. In the Old Testament, the law was given, but not for relationship. And this is what we sometimes don't understand. The law was given for a few different purposes, two in particular. Number one, the law was given to teach us about Christ. For example, the sacrifices that the priests made, they were all typology pointing to Christ. Number two, the law was given to a nation of 2 to 4 million unruly Israelis who had no code of conduct toward one another and therefore they were very difficult to get along with amongst each other, and also just to lead them. And so God gave them a law so that they could become a nation. Nations function under laws, not individuals. Yes, we submit to certain laws, obviously, but they're given to nations, not to individuals. The laws that were not given to build relationships. They were given so people wouldn't kill each other. Just like today, if you look at the code of laws in any state or any country, they're not given for a relationship. They're given so that people could function together within a society and each person being different. That's why the law was given, and then as typology toward Christ. So we don't live in this. We don't establish a relationship with God in this. We establish it in the law of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. Now, loving another person means I'm loving Christ. Jesus said, whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Loving another person means I'm loving Christ. But first, I have to receive that love from him. Now we're going to get into the meat of this. The problem that people have is that they try to live by some form of law and they call it their Christianity. They're not established in that which God gave for a relationship to him. Sometimes that can happen by choice. People simply make careless or poor choices toward the Word of God, toward a relationship with him. Or sometimes it happens because people don't get taught and they don't have the Word of God to build that relationship on. But in any case, the problem is the same, a poorly established relationship with Christ. In Luke 6:38, give and good measure will be given you, pressed down and shaken together. Running over, they will give into your bosom. For the same measure which you measure, it will be measured back to you. Those who serve have no need to be served. Those who love have no lack of love. Those who are merciful have no lack of mercy. Those who have patience have no lack of kindness. If I give, I receive. How do I do that? How is it that a person is kind? How is it that a person is merciful? How is it that a person serves other people? Those are required in God's economy for me to have the things that I desire. If I want contentment, there's a way to get there. If I want joy, there's a way to get there. If I want forgiveness, there's a way to get there. How does that work? It works in Romans 1:17. It works by faith. Faith application. It works by faith. Romans 1:17 says that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. You receive the word that produces faith in you, and then you apply the word that you have received. This becomes the life of the righteous. Righteousness is referring to a relationship with God that gives you right standing. That is done by receiving the word to produce faith in you, Romans 10:17, and then applying the word that you have received. This is the part where people have problems. This is where Paul had problems. We have to learn to appropriate what we know. It's not enough simply to know theologically. You have to learn to appropriate what you know. This is the practical difference between theology and categorical doctrine. Theology is simply the knowledge. Categorical doctrine is the practical application of the knowledge. And so I have to have the knowledge, yes. But if that's where it ends, I have nothing. I have to learn to appropriate what I know. Why is a person who's lonely lonely? A Christian is lonely. Why? The relationship with God is available. God says that He gives life superabundantly. God says that He's ever present in that person's life. God says that He is a friend to people who loves at all times. God says that He takes the fatherless and He becomes a father to them. He takes the lonely and He puts them in families. And that may not necessarily be in relationship, worldly kind of families, but it's in the family of God. God says He does all these things. Yet the person doesn't experience. Why? It's not that it's not available, it's not appropriated. A person lives in guilt. And God says, I forgive you, I cleanse you from your sin, the blood of Christ has removed your sin, I restore you into complete fellowship with me. You can recover. The sin never took place as far as I'm concerned. Yet the person lives in guilt. The person lives in memories of their past. The person is haunted by experiences. Why is that? When God has already given these things, it's not like they're waiting for something to happen or a promise to be fulfilled. This has already taken place. This is a historical reality. They're not appropriating. If I don't appropriate what I know, then what I know does me not one ounce of good. I must learn to appropriate what I know. In other words, I apply it. I use it. I make decisions. I think on the basis of it. I evaluate as that being my premise. I look at my sin and I say, yes, I have sinned. I confess my sin to God according to 1 John 1:9. The blood of Christ in Hebrews 9:14 cleanses my conscience. I trust it. I appropriate it. I counsel myself with it. And now I don't have a problem. I recognize in faith that the blood of Christ removes sin from time. I have no problem. I recognize in faith that God says, I supply all your needs. My needs are no longer a problem. There is a supply that is currently present, currently accessible. God says, ask and you shall receive, but the person doesn't ask. Why don't you have it? I just don't have it. God hasn't given it to me. Did you know to ask? Yes, I know that I have to ask. If I pray, then God will do it. Have you prayed? No. Have you asked Him? No. Why haven't you? I don't know. You haven't because you haven't appropriated. You simply did not enter into that faith obedience that would cause you to appropriate what God has already given you. It's not that God hasn't given it to you. It's simply there waiting for you to appropriate. It's like having all this food in your refrigerator, but you're starving to death. And the person says to you, you know you have all this food in your refrigerator. Yes, I know. Have you eaten any? No, I haven't. Why not? I don't know. Well, go eat something. You see, faith responds. Faith will nourish you. Faith responds. Go eat something. Appropriate what you have. Well, we have all this knowledge from the Word of God. We have all this knowledge from being taught categories of doctrine. But do we appropriate them? What will you do with them? You're taught about the blood. You're taught about love. You're taught about grace. You're taught about being victorious. You're taught about mercy. You're taught about all that Christ has done and is doing for you. But you're not victorious. You're not happy. You're not joyful. You're not at peace. You're not content. Why not? I don't know. You're not appropriating. That's why not. You're not appropriating what you already know. You must appropriate what you already know. It's not difficult. It's already there. You don't have to produce anything. You just have to take it and use it by faith. Well, how do I use the blood? By faith. A person sins, for example. This is one of the big ones. Guilt is a big issue with people. Condemnation is another big issue. A person sins. Well, what do I do with my sin? Well, 1 John 1:9 says that if you confess your sin to God, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin. Okay, God, that was sin. Okay, check. That's done. I still feel guilty. Well, Hebrews 9:14 says that the blood of Christ cleanses your conscience. How does it cleanse my conscience? 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Christ removes all your sin. Psalm 103:12 says it removes the sin from time. Okay, so I counsel myself. The blood of Christ removes my sin from time. That necessarily means that my sin no longer exists in time. It's not in my past. All points of time exist simultaneously. The blood takes it out of time. It removes it from all of time. If the blood of Christ removes my sin from all of time, then where is my sin? It's not in my past. It's certainly not in the present or the future. Where is my sin? It's not there. Then did I sin? It's not in time. This isn't a denial of the fact that we're sinners. Obviously we're sinners. This is an acknowledgement by faith of what the Word of God does and then utilizing in my thinking the activity of the blood. And my conscience is cleansed because I no longer worry about that which doesn't exist. Have you ever gone to bed and left the stove on? And then you realize, oh, I left the stove on. And you hurry up, get out of bed so that you can turn off your stove so your house doesn't burn down. Or worse yet, you leave your house and you say, oh, did I leave the stove on? Did I turn the stove off? And then the whole time you're away, you're worried about your house because you're not sure if you left the stove on. You get to the house, you turn the stove off. After you turn the stove off, you go out again and you say to yourself, oh, did I leave the stove on? I'm very anxious because I might have left the stove on. No, you turn the stove off. It's no longer on, it's off. Oh, now I can relax. I sinned. I'm very anxious. I sinned. Oh, the blood of Christ has taken my sin out of time. I can relax. The sin's not there. I can relax. You do it by faith. God says this is how it works. We accept it by faith. God says that He loves us. We accept it by faith. Nobody loves me. What am I going to do? Nobody loves me. God says He loves me. Whose love do you need when you have the love of God? Whose love is greater? A human? Can they do for you what God can do for you? Well, I can talk to a human. You can talk to God. He's much closer than a human. He lives inside of you. He can't leave. Your neighbor, your friend, even your spouse can leave. He cannot leave. He's much closer than a human. You trusted by faith. This person was unkind to me. God is very kind. Don't worry about what they said. Who cares what they said? God is kind. God is on your side. God loves you. God takes care of you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Who cares what the rest of them did? Who is as good as God as a friend? He's the most intimate friend you can possibly have, but you appropriate it by faith. Learn to appropriate what you know. It's absolutely vital. Our entire life as Christians is about appropriating what we know from the Word of God. As we get more from the Word of God, we appropriate more from the Word of God. There is therefore no condemnation. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation. Well, Hebrews 9:14. My conscience is cleansed by the blood. There is no condemnation. I don't have to be condemned. Then in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life, and that's referring to resurrection life in Galatians 2:20, has made me free from the law of sin and death. Well, Paul's learning how to appropriate experientially what he knows. His theology is becoming his reality. We have to have our theology become our reality. That's where we enter categorical doctrine. We live by faith. Well, what do you mean I live by faith? I live by my emotions. You're not appropriating what you know. Your emotions can't think. Your emotions don't decide their responders. Their responders given so that you can appreciate God. Their responders given so you can appreciate the things of God. Their responders so that you can be blessed by God's activity in your life. They're not responders to be responsive to the negative things in your life. They're not there to respond to Satan's initiations, whether it be directly to you or through other people or through circumstances or what have you. They are there for you to respond to the Word of God. When you respond to the Word of God, you're living by faith, appropriating what you know toward your emotions. And your emotions suddenly become very good, very healthy. People appropriate the negatives of their life. What does that mean? They dwell on negatives. They decide on the basis of negatives. They identify themselves on the basis of negative. Well, this person did this mean thing or said this mean thing, and this is how I am. Now this is how I feel, and I feel now badly about myself because I'm not accepted by them, and this is what's going on in my life, and it's all negative, so therefore I have a very bad self-image. You've appropriated the wrong things. You've appropriated what Satan offered you instead of what God offered you. Never do that. Don't appropriate what Satan offers you. Ignore him. Somebody is negative toward you. Somebody has an accusation against you. This is a big one. Somebody has an accusation against you and you adopt it into your frame of reference so that it becomes your self-image and now you have a lousy self-image. Well, you've appropriated what Satan has given you. Never appropriate what Satan gives. Don't even listen. One of the things you learn really fast in the kingdom warfare is you don't even listen to what Satan has to say, not about somebody else, not about you. Here, I want to give you a letter detailing all my complaints about you. Take the letter and burn it. Don't open it, burn it. Don't read it, burn it. Why? What do I care what Satan has to say about me? I already know what he thinks of me. I don't need you to tell me what Satan thinks of me. I already know. I'm not going to appropriate what Satan has to say. Never appropriate what Satan has to say. Let me tell you about what I think of this person. I don't want to hear it. Why? I'm not going to appropriate what Satan has to say. Appropriate what you know that comes from God and ignore what you know comes from the enemy. Well, you have to be objective. Appropriate what you know comes from God and ignore what comes from the enemy. That is objective. Jesus said, John 14:6, I'm the truth. John 17:17, my word is truth. So tell me about objective. We need to learn how to appropriate what we know. When we appropriate what we know, then we start to find our victory. If we do not appropriate what we know, despite the fact that we know it, we cannot become victorious. Information doesn't deliver. Faith does. In 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our constant need, that we grow in grace and that we grow in doctrine. That's what knowledge is talking about, doctrine. Everyone needs to grow in grace. Everyone needs to grow in doctrine. And a part of doctrine, about half of it, is knowing how to appropriate the Word of God. Having the Word of God, that's one half. Appropriating the Word of God, that's the other half. Appropriate the Word of God. Apply it. Use it. Think with it. Evaluate with it. Have that be the basis of your thinking. Let it become your frame of reference so that you can appropriate it. In Romans 8:7, the carnal mind is enmity, an enemy, hostile against God. For it is not subject to the law. And this is now referring not to the Mosaic law. The carnal mind loves the Mosaic law. This is talking about the law of the Spirit of God. Neither indeed can be. Now, every single one of us has a carnal mind within our old sin nature. Every single one of us can possess the mind of Christ. What we need is deliverance through the mind of Christ. Now get this next part. This part confuses people. Salvation comes by Christ. Deliverance comes by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. But it requires our volitional submission to the throne of grace and its operation in us. The fact that you're saved does not guarantee that you will be delivered. That requires a choice of faith obedience. In that faith obedience, you find your deliverance. Too often, a believer will know what the Word of God says, and they'll say, yeah, but I don't feel it. Yeah, but that's not how I think. That's not what I think. That's not how I feel about things. That is pure subjectivity. Understand something. Pride is when you don't agree with God. Humility is when you do. If I'm saying, yeah, but that's not what I feel, then that is the Habakkuk 2:4 uplifted soul. I lift up my emotions beyond the Word of God and think my emotions are a more reliable definition or standard for my situation than God is. We do it all the time. And so I don't appropriate. Now, the carnal mind is an enemy of God. And it is not able to appropriate anything from God. So what do? I ignore those things that come from the carnal mind and I live in faith obedience. God says He loves me. I believe God. I may not feel it, but I believe Him because He said it and I know that He is absolute truth. I believe Him. He loves me. The experience of that will come. But in Romans 5:3-5, it may come in a tribulation process. You might be tested. You might be tried. You might have some difficulty in which God reveals that love toward you. That's okay. All things are from Him in 2 Corinthians 5:18. For your sake in 2 Corinthians 4:15. Don't worry about how it comes. That's up to God. Your part is to respond in faith, obedience. God loves me, that's what I'm going with. You sin, God forgives me, that's what I'm going with. Love one another, I will be patient, I will be kind, I love other people, that's what I'm going with. But what if they are making you crazy? What difference does that make? That's the carnal mind. I don't yield to the carnal mind. I appropriate what I know. Our problems come not because of a lack of knowledge in most cases. Most Christians have all the knowledge they could possibly ever use. Our problems come from a lack of appropriation. We don't use what we know. And because we don't use it, in our experience, we lose it. Simple as that. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now here's the thing. Appropriating what you know often does require a cross. In other words, you can't be self-oriented, you got to be God-oriented to do it. If you're self-oriented, you'll never do it. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself first. Deny yourself means refuse self-orientation. Reject it in your thinking. Oh, but I'm so whatever. Reject it in your thinking. Identify it. Reject it. I'm so frustrated. Reject it. I'm so hurt. Reject it. I'm so anxious. Reject it. I'm so worried. Reject it. Reject it in your thinking. Oh, but I can't help it. This is how I feel. Yeah, you're not appropriating what you know, and that's why this is how you feel. Your feelings would be so much healthier if you used what you know. Our entire life as Christians is learning to appropriate what we know. That's it right there. From faith to faith, the just live by faith. Your entire life as a believer is growing in the grace and knowledge of God and learning how to appropriate in the grace and knowledge that you are growing in. Use it. If you don't have that denial of self orientation, you will always stay in your motions and victory through the cross will be impossible. Because you haven't used it. Instead, in Proverbs 5:3-5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't live in a puffed up soul in Habakkuk 2:4. Puffed up emotions, puffed up volition, puffed up mind, puffed up self-image. Those self-images, they can become such an issue when you don't appropriate what you know. Live by faith. Live by faith. Faith is your connection to reality. Live by faith. There's your relationship to God. There's love. There's joy. There's peace. Appropriating by faith what you know. Hebrews 4:2. If you don't mix faith with what you hear, it's not going to do you any good. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He directs your path. It continues there. That includes your thinking, your speaking, your conduct, your relationship, your decisions, everything. He directs your thinking. He directs how you communicate. He directs your relationships. He directs your decisions. He directs literally everything when you acknowledge Him first. Acknowledging Him doesn't necessarily mean, it can mean, but doesn't necessarily mean, hey Christ, what do I do here? Acknowledging is simply appropriating. You appropriate what you know and God gives you all kinds of direction. You don't appropriate it, God can't even touch you. Then it says, do not Be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trusting God requires humility. You cannot have trust for God apart from humility. Psalm 34:2. You cannot have trust in God apart from humility. It doesn't work. Departing from Satan's influence requires fear of God. So, in verse 7, first God gives me the capacity through humility, and then He gives me direction through conviction. And then Satan can't touch me. Simple as that. Now, appropriate it. Appropriate it. Use it. Appropriate it. In Psalm 10:17, Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will establish their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. How does that work? John 15:7. If you abide in the love of God and His word abides in you, you can ask anything and He'll do it for you. That's appropriation. In 1 Samuel 15:22, behold, get this, you need this. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Faith obedience through the government of the Holy Spirit, John 16:13, is how we appropriate what we know. And it's not trying to submit to our religious carnal law. It's trusting God with all your frame of reference and then utilizing what He gives you. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.